Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get him, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
It's not college football related. We stray whenever we feel like it here, but Major League Baseball related. And again, I'm pulling for it because I want them to be out there and I want it to be a model to show us it can be successful. I know it's not the same sport as football, but I'm still pulling for the successful reopen of Major League Baseball, even if I'm not a big fan of it, personally. Buster Olney. Now, he went to Vanderbilt. He's a Vandy man. According to him, even with no fans at games, Major League Baseball and its streaming services will still black out games for your local teams. The sport just finds ways to alienate the fans. So even though they might not be able to go to games, your local teams will still be blacked out. That's a brilliant move right there now. Considering we're talking about a sport which isn't and hasn't been America's pastime in decades. Not a couple of years, decades. That still has a loyal, passionate fan base. I'm not saying they don't, but how about that, everybody? How about that, y'all? Josh says, Bill, time to get Dave Biddle back on the show. Yeah, we probably ought to. If you didn't see the news, Buckeyes are going to shut it down for about a week. A lot of positive tests. We don't know the number and don't know how it's dispersed from the football team to other sports. I don't know it. That's private information. That's fine. But it is being reported, and the Buckeyes have acknowledged it, too. And I saw Dave Biddle post about it yesterday. But, again, that's about a week. That's about a week that they'll be off, and then I assume they'll be back at it. Yeah, that news hit yesterday. Ivy League announced no fall sports. They did not announce we're moving everything to the spring either. They just said no fall sports. We don't know. Don't know what that means. Their business model isn't around sports revenue. Their business model is we play some sports, but it's Ivy League. It's different. It's a totally different model than the SEC or most of the Big Ten or Big 12 or ACC, whoever it might be. Not the same business model at all. But they made that announcement, which was expected by everybody. Coach Marshall brought it up earlier about, and he's one of the few Vanderbilt fans out there. Do you think the SEC would drop or Vanderbilt, or would Vanderbilt just get out? I don't think they'd get out because of the money. I mean, right now they do very little for the league other than baseball, which is not a moneymaker, but they win natties, and that counts. That's big. But other than that, they don't do anything for the SEC other than sit there and act how smart they are, right? But the SEC's good with that. SEC doesn't need Vanderbilt to be winning games. They just don't. They've got plenty of teams to win all the different games and sports and stuff. They don't worry about Vanderbilt's lack of winning. They like Vanderbilt's prestigious academic reputation. That's what they like. Let's balance everything here. And we've got Vanderbilt. Yeah, we got them. They're in Nashville. I know they don't do anything, but there they are. There they are. So the SEC would never consider getting rid of them, ever. I've had that come up to me for the last 35 years, if not longer, and it's always been the same answer. But Coach Marshall brought it up. You think they'd think about getting out? I don't think so, just because of the money. I mean, $43 million is better than zero, isn't it? Their yearly SEC take is about 40-something million. It may go down this next year for everybody because of revenue loss, but that's the most recent one, somewhere in the 40s. And they wouldn't get out. I mean, that's a good chunk of change. Unless they just decide, look, the whole model is not really what we want to be into the future. So we're just going to get out of all big-time sports. And, yeah, we're going to lose the $43 million, but we're not going to have the expenses either. We're getting out. And, I mean, could somebody come to they've had meetings about that historically. Now, the last time they met about that was probably early Gordon Gee, so 15, 20 years ago. But, and they decided, no, we want to do this. We want to be in it. I was going to say in it to win it, but they're not in it to win it. So, I stopped there. No, they've had that meeting. They haven't had that meeting recently, as far as I know. Clay Phillips says, Bill, I always wondered who the other Clay was. I just assume you guys knew each other. West Coast Sooner. Bill, what's the logic with closing down for a week? That solves nothing. These kids need to keep moving and being active rather than in a quarantine. You know what? I don't have a good answer for that. I guess they feel like PR-wise it sells better than we're gonna charge through this. I think a lot of decisions are made from a PR point of view during this, for sure. That would be my answer. Husker Richie, welcome in.
Bill, so we're not going to get to see any white patio furniture playing sports. The Ivy League's going to sit out, huh?
They have announced no fall anything when it comes to sports. Yes, correct.
Well, what they make in football, they don't make anything in football, right? It probably costs them just to turn the lights on in the stadiums when those teams play, right?
Well, probably, yeah. I mean, their university model is not around any sport or anything. I wouldn't call it intramurals. I mean, there's some good ball players come out of there, and some go to the NFL, but it's not the same, no.
I was going to ask you that. In an average year, just taking a guess, you would know better than me, how many NFL players are drafted from the Ivy League? Four or five?
Oh, probably or less. Probably right. Less.
Right. Well, I tell you what, the next time I have surgery, I don't care if my surgeon played football in the SEC. I'd like you to be from the Ivy League, so that's fine with me.
yeah.
You know, that kind of issue. But next time I go to court, I want my attorney from Harvard. I don't care if he went to Auburn. I don't care. But
You don't care if his school played football either, do you? So that's not a problem.
Yeah, I don't care if he runs the option or not. I want somebody qualified to do business for me. Bill, you've got to be getting a little bit worried now. We talked a while back. I think Alabama-USC has no chance of being played. Ohio State at Oregon. Do you think we may just be looking at just conference games?
I think that is a genuine possibility. It's not done. But it's being suggested. Tommy Dienhart's a good friend, and he's now with the Purdue side of Rivals, but he's with the Big Ten for many years. He wrote an article yesterday that is the model conference-only games that they are perhaps leaning towards in the Big Ten.
Right, right. Well, it's going to be strange for scheduling. I mean, Nebraska opens with Purdue. That's a conference game, so they play that, but yet some of the bigger, Ohio State would get to sit at home that weekend. I wonder how they'll do all that. Who knows, right?
Correct. Who knows?
I don't think we're going to have fans in the stands. I mean, that would be shocking. but let me ask you, Bill, when are they going to have to let us know that – at what point will they tell us that Labor Day weekend there's not going to be any football? You know, it's going to be later. When do you think they would let us know? Deep into July, early August, or what?
Give me a little cushion. I'd say we won't get out of July without that news.
Okay.
I mean, that's my guess here. I mean, I think it's all a guess because they don't even know yet. But
right.
I've been told by people very well connected with Say So that you really need a plan once you get to that last week of July. You need it mapped out.
No doubt. Of course, the SEC TV money, monumental. So as long as they get the TV money, they would be fine for the season, right?
Yes.
They don't have to have fans in the stands to make gigantic money from the TV, from CBS, and on all the others, ESPN, all the others.
That's correct.
Bill, I appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right, bud. I pulled it up. Now, somebody could pull up a better list than this. I pulled up a list of Ivy League players drafted, and I wanted the NFL. And most of these, it lists them 1 through 25, the best Ivy League players drafted. And Jeff, too, I figured he'd pull it up. But Chuck Bednarik's listed number one, played at Penn, played for the Eagles. The year was 1949. Sid Luckman played at Columbia. He went in the first round, too. So did Bednarik. And that was 1939, played for the Bears. Skippy Meneese went in the second round. I've never heard of him now. Played at Penn. That was 1948. All of these, the top 25, all of them played either, well, there's Joe Valero, who's number 25, played in the 90s. Went to Penn and was drafted by the Chiefs. That's the most recent name. I'm probably skipping over some here. Jeff, too,'s got a list, too. Tell you what, got a call when we come back. Jeff's got a list, probably better than this one he was able to pull up. And then at the bottom of the hour, Mike Morgan's coming up as well. We'll get the break. Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Sure, we've seen a couple of wrecks high here in the last hour or so as the police clear up that wreck with injuries. 3400 block 11 and Pike. Still busy out here on 65 coming past Trinity Lane. Still looking good coming in from Dixon County on I-40 eastbound passing 840 up through Kingston Springs. A two-bedroom house is for sale in Nashville. Perfect for an office location. 1638 Dr. D.B. Todd Jr. Boulevard. Call Greg Sanford at 615 area code 300-0753. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-478-0480. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-478-0480. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. Call 1-800-478-0480. 1-800-478-0480.
Summer is open, and Lowe's is home for the 4th of July. We're making backyards everywhere the best place to be this holiday, and we're starting from the ground up. Get 5 bags of premium mulch for $10. And for a finishing touch, get select annuals hanging baskets, 2 for $10. This year, we're home for the 4th. Visit Lowe's and make it the best it can be. Valid through 7-8 in-store only. While supplies last, selection varies by location, U.S. only, excluding Alaska and Hawaii.
Jim Rome is-
is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC. ABC. A, always. B, B, C. Closing. Always be closing.
A, B, C. A, always. B, B, C. Closing. Always be closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original sports radio, WNSR.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. 50% chance of storms, high 89. Partly cloudy tonight, low 74. 70% chance of storms tomorrow, high 88. And a 30% chance of storms tomorrow night, low 72. Utilize the...
Got biscuits, kitchen notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel does, and Bill King loves them all.
Quick note here, and then Charlie said got a bunch of people waiting. 2019, this is a Jeff 2 link. The 2019 NFL season started with 22 Ivy League football players, 17 dressed during the opening weekend. So if you take, let's just say there are 1,500 players in the NFL. It's a little more than that. It'd be 53 times 32, right? But let's just say 1,500. And you had 17 dress. That's about 1%. I mean, again, my math's not going to be precise there, but that's about 1%. So that'll give you an idea. I still don't see a list of every year, like from 2019, 2020, let's say back to 2000, Ivy League players just drafted per year. So we could get a feel for that. It's going to be a really low number, as we know, but, I mean, there are some. Jeff in the Borough, who's new on Twitter, even though he says it's not his, everybody claims it's his. So you know what, Jeff? Well, it's yours.
Whatever, Bill. You do what
own
you
want. Own it, Jeff. Own it. Own it, sir.
To, Bill. I just want to tell you a little bit about the Ivy League. The football is the only sport, Bill, that their league champion doesn't go to a playoff. Doesn't go like their league champion football don't go to the SCS playoff. All right. The other sports, if they win the NCAA tournament, they go to the tournament.
That's because they're too busy starting Facebook and things like that.
Too busy with the Zuckerberg, too busy starting Facebook. But I want to ask you a question, Bill. If this virus, say it happened in October or the end of September last year during football season, and of course football had been going on, we'd been watching games, the season had been going on, and say it had gotten worse like it did, and we got to December, do you think that the college the play committee that does that playoff would have canceled the bowl season and the college football playoff? Because I say no. I say they wouldn't. But the thing about it is, Bill, to me it's a double standard. Because basketball, when the Ivy League was the first league to cancel their tournament, a league tournament, everybody else canceled. And the NCAA canceled their tournament. And they make $1 billion off that a basketball tournament. And I don't know what football makes that 14 playoff, but it sure ain't no $1 billion, I can tell you that. It sure ain't no billion. As far as that goes. And if I'd been the head of the NCAA, we'd have played that tournament. We'd have played that tournament smaller venues. We'd have played it with no fans. I don't care what the coaches and players say. We'd have played it.
I need you to tweet that out on your new account.
No,
just what you just said.
I need you to, ask these callers if it's a double standard. That, and now we got to play football, don't we, Bill? Because it's about money, isn't it? It's about cash. If we don't play football, all these athletic departments are going to go under. Is that right, Bill?
Let me ask you this. If you don't pay your electric bill, do they turn your electricity off?
Yeah, I do, but Bill, I pay it every month.
It's about the money, Jeff. It's about the money.
Just like in that song.
Everything's about the money, Jeff. You wouldn't be calling me if you didn't pay your phone bill. It's always about the money.
In football, it is, not basketball. In football, it is. But not basketball, is it? In football, it is.
Yeah, but you don't know that because we don't know the timing of it. And there's also, you know, there's all kinds of angles to this.
What do you mean timing? What do you know about timing? What do you mean there?
Well, because the timing was in September, so we don't know the answer.
If it had been, I'm talking about, Bill. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, I know. You're seeing unicorns too in your backyard right now, Jeff. I mean, I can't help you, sir.
Well, I mean, I'm just telling you, Bill, we got to have football, though, don't we? If we don't have football, it's going to be – we play in the spring. Lord help us, Trevor Lawrence ain't going to play.
So it is just now occurring to you that football is the king and basketball isn't?
Are you just coming to this conclusion?
Then why are you mad about it when it's been the case for decades?
Well, it ain't been the case for decades. It's been the case for a little while, not decades, I don't know, but it's been the case for a while. Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, so I mean,
I'm just saying it's a double standard. And I'm telling you that the NCAA tournament has been going on a lot longer. It's 68 teams, 80 years, and the college football playoff's gone about five. So let's have a 68-team college football playoff, Bill, and see what that does. Let's have 68 teams on that.
I need you to tweet more, Jeff. Your Twitter game's going down right now, sir.
Well,
get back on that account.
I'll talk it. We might have football this season. Maybe in the spring we might have it. So we'll talk at you later, Bill. See you.
Boy, he's fired up there, guys. Now, if we could get him to tweet like that, we've got something. Alan, but not in Tampa. What's up, Alan? How you doing, sir?
Hey, Bill. I tell you what, I don't have any unicorns in my backyard, but I got a lot of pink elephants.
What about garden gnomes? You got any of those?
Yeah, and I tell you what, every day I look at them, it seems like they've changed their position. So something's going on. Hey, Bill, I talked to you the other day about this 2022 kid up in Martin, Tennessee, the quarterback.
Yeah, I know him. Yeah.
Well,
he got offered by Michigan in like seventh grade.
I tell you what, you know that, Bill, he has an offer from every SEC school right now, and that they want him to come out to Southern Cal, they want him to go out to Oklahoma, and they're going to offer him, I guess, when he makes his trip, whatever that is. I tell you what, this kid must be something special. I think his name is Ty Simpson.
It is.
If I'm not mistaken, and he's according to which website you're on, he's somewhere around 6'1 and 170 to 190, something like that. But I watched some of his tape, and he's a pretty good defensive back also. So he's playing both ways.
Well, yeah, and again, I think it's—I could be wrong, but I think his dad may be the coach. But anyways, regardless of that, he's been an item since literally seventh grade, and apparently he's holding up.
Well, I tell you what, he sure looks good on tape, and I believe he goes to some place called Westview.
Yeah, it's Martin Westview.
Martin Westview, and if I'm not mistaken, Bill, his dad is the quarterback coach for UT Martin.
Okay, then maybe that's it. I thought his dad was football related. Maybe that's right.
I think that's the case.
Yeah, Ty Simpson is a name that people in the audience ought to remember because you're going to see him at one of your schools. He's that good. He's that good.
Highly thought of. Bill, I tell you what, I think the kid would look really good in orange. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I would think he'd look good whoever gets him, but he's in-state kid in Jackson, Tennessee, which is where that is. That's about halfway Nashville to Memphis for everybody out there listening. Has been a really good city for Tennessee. Very, very prosperous city for them historically.
Yeah, good deal on that. Bill, are you getting any feel about the Mays kid in Knoxville, or is that thing just being stonewalled?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if stonewalled. I just, you know, the NCAA, they go about things, and it's never the timing for anybody. I'm assuming he gets cleared, but that's with the NCAA, you never know. But I would assume he gets cleared.
Well, I tell you what, you tell me if my logic is flawed on this. If he doesn't get cleared this year, Bill, he's eligible for the draft next year. So he may never play it down for UT.
Well, yeah, that's true. There was an article on that in Knoxville. He may opt out. And, well, let's say this. Let's say he gets cleared, but we don't play football. He'll opt out next spring, too, I would think. Either way.
Yeah.
Either way. Appreciate it, Alan. Stay in touch.
Thanks.
Yep, stay in touch. We got one we can get here, Charlie, or not. Wolverine Dan, welcome in. Upsetting call last time, but good to have you back, sir.
This is John.
Oh, this is John? Sorry about that. Sorry about that, John. Not Wolverine Dan. You don't sound like Wolverine Dan.
Yeah. Hey, listen. Hey, didn't Ed Marinaro get the Heisman Trophy at Colgate in the early 70s?
Yeah, played for the Vikings, right? Ed Marinaro.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And then he went to Hill Street Blues, I believe it was.
Hey, well, you're right. And you know what? He wasn't on this top 25 list, which he should have been.
Yeah, that's really surprising. I mean, he was a modern-day Heisman Trophy winner.
That's when
I
was just starting to get into the NFL as a kid back then, and the Vikings with Fran Tarkington and that whole group. So, yeah, I remember all that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Ben, let me tell you this real quick. I know you're about to break, but, of course, I'm a truck driver, and I was coming into Springfield, Missouri yesterday, and, man, I absolutely seen something that just made my heart. I just wanted to pull over and cry. I was going by a high school that's there on the interstate, and I bet there were 70 or 80 boys out there running, man, getting ready for football, out there on the football field. And it's just such a beautiful sight to see.
It
and
really
I certainly
is.
Hope we play football this fall, you know?
I hear you. All right. Hey, stay in touch, good friend.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Bottom of the hour break. And, Charlie, do you have a number for Mike Morgan still? I will. Mike Morgan will be with us from the SEC Network, ESPN, and whatever else he's doing in Atlanta, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. There's still quite a bit of traffic volume here coming in from Rutherford County as we check it out live here on 24 up through the Hickory Hollow area through that construction zone. Traffic downtown, not too bad there on 40 getting off onto DeMumbry and Broadway. Just busy. 65 southbound there at Trinity Lane. Bars Music City Soul Food is now open behind the Bank of America on Nolensville Pike at OHB. Check them out online, barsmusiccitysoulfood.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place with the best bowling, games, food and drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment is the answer. And with 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there is a location near you. All open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, and the Tusculum area. And enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville at Circus World, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, a laser maze, a virtual reality roller coaster, and an indoor bungee trampoline. Strike and Spare is expanding their Murfreesboro operations to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall, with most of the attractions Hendersonville offers. Like them on Facebook for updates on the new Strike and Spare Murfreesboro. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are also the perfect place for your next gathering, from birthday parties to family reunions. For more information, visit strikeandspare.com. Remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Former Titans coach Jeff Fisher.
Who's grumpy this morning?
Coach, I'm not grumpy.
John, I mean, hey, John.
Yeah.
Pull your head out of your butt. Get yourself in a better mood.
I'll do my best, coach. Thanks for the pep talk.
Okay.
You just made a promo for him.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
College sports.
Bill King knows a few things.
Very fast moving Thursday show, man. Tomorrow, Brad will be with us, BradPowerSports.com. Hour number three. You know, a lot of news. Last couple of days, newsy. Maybe not all the news we want, but news out there nonetheless. We'll see what today brings. Markets, let me check. Dow down a little bit. S&P green, NASDAQ green. Where's the VIX? Well, it's not popping up. Oh, there it is. Ah, VIX is in the red a little bit, which actually is positive. Mike Morgan is with us. Mike, I'm just guessing. I know you're in Atlanta. You're doing your best to stay healthy. Have you turned into one of those guys that got a Robin Hood account and you're just day trading your butt off all day long? Is that you?
No, I can't say that's me, Bill. I'm guilty of a lot of sketchy activity during COVID times, but that's not part of it.
I don't picture you as a day trader, just sitting there by your computer at 8:30.
No, you know, I have a cousin that does that, and I tell you, I watch the way his mood is dictated by what happens during the course of that day, and I can always tell if he's had a winning day or a losing day, and if he's had a losing day, I know to keep my distance. You talk about social distancing. If he's had a bad day on the market, you really social distance because he is not a happy camper. So I don't know if I could take the highs and lows. It's the same reason why I don't gamble on sports or anything else for that matter, because it's just too much of an emotional roller coaster for me. I've got enough problems with stability on my own.
You are in the TV business. People know you. You do football, basketball, baseball, ESPN, SEC Network. What are the suits saying right now?
Well, it's really odd because the suits really are having their own conversations, and then you have, much like you've got the daily Zoom calls with all the athletic directors of the Power Five conferences, and then you have the Zoom calls of the conference commissioners each and every day, and then I think the so-called suits at ESPN and at Fox and other networks, they're having their own calls, but they're not all necessarily on the same call. You know, I mean, we're all just kind of in the dark. I've never known it to be such the unknown in terms of what's going on. And so, you know, I think when this first started, that keep in mind, I was in Nashville getting ready to call the second round of the SEC basketball tournament with no fans, a challenge I kind of looked forward to. I'm sitting there with Marty Smith and Carl Ravitch and Jimmy Dykes, and we're talking about how we're going to handle the coverage of this. And the plug is pulled about 45 minutes before tip-off between Tennessee and Alabama. At that point, everybody is just kind of in shock and awe about the fact that we're not going to have March Madness. Then I get back to the hotel room, and then we find out Mark Emmert, without really discussing it with the conference commissioners, pulls the plug on the College World Series. As you know, I do a lot of college baseball. He canceled the entire college baseball season. And so from that point, and then at that point, we'd have a couple of conference calls with some of the bosses about where we are and what's going forward. But I think at some point, Bill, everybody just decided, what's the point of doing weekly conference calls with our announcers and on-air talent when we really don't know what's going to happen? If the people in charge of college football don't know what's going to happen, then why should we assume that us folks in TV land know what's going to happen? So we're all just watching the goalposts be moved continuously and trying to figure out what the fall is going to look like. And I'll be honest, I mean, it has kind of snuck up on me, because when we had those conversations in April, May, and June, it was like, okay, we still got plenty of time. Now we're in mid-July, and we don't have plenty of time. So I think there's a lot of angst in the air. We all know how important college football is to all of us, the programs, the schools, and, yes, people in TV and radio and print. It's a lifeblood of so many of our careers and what we do. So we're all waiting on pins and needles, but we're not closer to an answer, I'm afraid.
Okay, more of the same. Have you had any discussions about whether you'd be in a stadium or maybe you'd be doing it from a central broadcast location like in Charlotte? How would that work?
Those conversations have taken place. I will say this. As a network, we've done a tremendous job of all kinds of contingency plans. So we are prepared for if it's semi-normal and we can do what we normally do, which, of course, is show up a couple days before, talk to coaches and players on Friday, broadcast the game in our little booth on Saturday as normal. Okay, well, what if we can't do that? Well, then maybe we do have to do what's called a REMI, which is remote integration, which is we broadcast it from a television screen either in Charlotte or in Orlando or in Bristol, Connecticut. Most of us have done that at least once or twice because that's something that kind of came onto the scene about 5-6 years ago, and they thought maybe it'd be a good way to save money here and there logistically, particularly if it's an overseas game. You see ESPN doing this Korean baseball now. Well, obviously, they don't have the broadcast crew set up in Korea. There's no secret there. But I will say it's not ideal. Fans recognize the announcers aren't there, and it has a different feel to it. It's not the same when you're not actually there on site, but that is in today's COVID era, that is a possibility. I mean, there's three or four possibilities that are all out there, and we just don't know the answer now. And I go back to, if the people that run the sport, and I can't stress this enough, it drives me batty, Bill, when people assume Mark Emmert runs college football. Mark Emmert is like the substitute teacher, a better example. Mark Emmert is like the dean you had in high school that thinks he has a lot of authority, and he's trying to hand out demerits while kids are throwing paper airplanes at his head. Right. Mark Emmert is no authority figure in this. It's the Power Five commissioners that control the sport, and they don't care what the Ivy League does or doesn't do. That news was great for the Ivy League. I know a lot of people wrote articles about it and followed suit. That means nothing to the Greg Sankeys of the world, the Swoffords of the world, the Scotts of the world, the Bowlesbys of the world. They are running their own operation, and all of them know how crucial it is to have a season. So we're all just waiting to see what they decide is possible at this point.
Do you even have your maybe schedule yet, or is that even done?
No, gosh, no. No, football, unlike basketball and baseball, is unique anyway, as you know, because we don't know, we can't forecast even in a regular year. I can't tell you October the 1st what game is going to be on what network. Right. So therefore, we don't know as announcers what game we're going to be assigned to. So we find out maybe 2 weeks in advance. Okay, this is the game you're going to be at. This is the game that you're broadcasting. But at this point, some of those games on the schedule, we don't even know if they're going to take place. And we don't know if we're going to start on time, and we don't know if we're going to back it up. I still think the spring model is the absolute last resort. And I could give you 100 reasons why, but your audience could probably figure out most of them on their own. That is not what they are looking at as a great option. That is a last resort in case of emergency break glass option. But regardless of that, we still have to figure out, can all the games be played? I mean, I hear a lot of people say, well, why don't we just do the conference games only model? Well, first of all, every game on that schedule, no matter how relevant you think it is, they all make money, okay? They make money for the schools. They make money for the TV networks. And quite frankly, you only get 12 of these things a year. Fans don't like to be deprived of any of them. And if you can play 8 conference games, why can't you play 12 overall? If you can play 9 games overall, why would you think it's safer to play 9 versus 12? I mean, I think we're splitting hairs at that point. I think they want to play a full season, and I think they want to see how feasible that is. It would be incredibly ignorant to think that when they started testing all these kids, that there weren't going to be positive tests. But what amazes me is that people don't bring up the fact, or some of the people that seem determined to convince you we shouldn't have a season, a lot of national writers that share the same brain, they neglected to mention these kids were already positive before they came on campus. In other words, if you canceled college football, to assume that a bunch of 19, 20, and 21-year-olds are going to stay locked up in an apartment social distancing and not do things that ordinary college kids do, like go to bars, like have parties, like socially gather, you're kidding yourself. You're absolutely kidding yourself. So if we cancel college football today, I don't know if we're any safer. I don't know if we're going to avoid any more positive tests. If you have them in a controlled environment, you can dictate how they conduct their social activities, and you've got the best medical care available at their disposal, things that, quite frankly, people like you and me don't have. So I don't know if that's really a great solution. Just say, oh, the heck with it. Let's cancel football, and let's have these kids do what they normally do. Well, what they normally do is going to put them in risk of contracting the virus. So I don't see how that's necessarily a solution.
Mike Morgan with us down in Atlanta. We're talking about the reopen here. There was an article yesterday, Tom Deanhart. I've known Tom a long time. He used to work for the Big Ten Network. He's with the Purdue site now. He said his sources are telling him the conference-only model is what the Big Ten is leaning towards. He didn't say that was the end game yet, but it seems to have momentum. Mm-hmm. Here's my question. We just talked about how the Ivy League, when they make an announcement, it has no relevance on the P5, et cetera, as far as their decisions. But if the Big Ten decided to go in that direction, could you see a situation where the SEC says, well, that's fine, but we're playing 12?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't think what the Big Ten does is going to influence what Greg Sankey does. I go back to, again, March the 12th, a day that'll live in infamy, when basically the sports world was shut down. If you recall, first, the Big East shut down their conference tournament in the middle of a game, no less. Then the Power Five school conferences started doing it, Big 12, Big 10, Pac-12. I think the last one before the SEC was the ACC. And even then, hours later, Greg Sankey finally said, okay, it's time to pull the plug. In other words, just because one Power Five commissioner and one Power Five league takes a certain course on this doesn't mean they're all going to fall lockstep. And so if the Big Ten decides to do that, great for the Big Ten. That doesn't mean when we say conference or only, are we saying that we're not going to have Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Georgia Tech, South Carolina, Clemson, Louisville, Kentucky? I really think that that'd be a long shot to cancel those games.
Yeah, I was thinking. Here's another one. We talked about this earlier. If everybody went to the conference-only model, what is Notre Dame down to about six games?
Yeah. Yeah, at that point, I mean, Notre Dame is they're basically playing like a preseason schedule. I don't know. You know what? We all naturally, I think, Bill, it's in our nature to want to compromise, right? We don't like confrontation. We want to. So this sounds like the ultimate compromise. Well, we know it's kind of dangerous to play 12. So let's just do conference only. Oh yeah, that sounds like good. And now we're compromising. But what are we really doing there? Like I said, if we lop off three games on the schedule, is that a solution? Are we really making anything better by doing that? I mean, the only concern that I legitimately see, there are some schools that might not have the proper financing to administer as many tests as you need to make sure that you've got a team full of players that are COVID-19 negative. So, I mean, if you're playing an FCS school, and they're already hemorrhaging money, and maybe they don't have the means to have adequate testing, well, then that needs to be known, and that game is going to be in peril. It's going to be in jeopardy. But, you know, for example, the Big Ten, I mean, much of their out-of-conference games are against, what, MAC schools, right? Can can Bowling Green not afford to get COVID tests? We know this much. MAC schools cannot afford to lose out on a college football season. I mean, literally, everybody talked about the news, Stanford dropping a dozen sports yesterday. That's nothing compared to what Group 5 schools are going to have to do if we don't have a college football season. So they depend heavily on games like that. So based on that, I would assume they're going to do everything they have to do in the way of testing to make sure they can call up an Ohio State and say, look, we need to keep this game on. We assure you our athletes have been tested properly multiple times. We are doing the same protocol you are because we know it's that important. That would be the first thing I let everybody know if I am the athletic director of a Group 5 school, because I know my survival could very well depend on having college football in 2020.
Mike, I don't know when the last time I had you on was, but it was a long time ago. We won't do that again. We'll have you on soon.
Too long, time. Bill. Too long. I was hurt inside. I didn't feel whole. Now I feel whole again.
Now they're canceling seasons because of this. It was terrible.
Let's hope they don't cancel us.
I hear you. Mike, talk soon, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
There you go, Mike Morgan. He's good. Very reasonable and very pragmatic right there. We got to get the break. Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic still moving right along at this point. I'm here on I-40 coming through Hermitage, Donaldson, passing the airport in Trinity Hills. They're still on the scene of that accident, the 2200 block of Brick Church Pike. Wrapping up an earlier wreck, 3400 block of Lebanon Pike. That one made a mess earlier. One person was sent to the hospital. Traffic still looking good right now, 65 up through Brentwood, Franklin. Psychic Nicole can guide you through life's journey. Have a question about your love life or your future? Call Nicole right now at area code 615-618-3313. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
The Southern Air Market combines the hospitality of a New Orleans-style neighborhood grocery with the convenience of a New York City bodega to cater to the needs of downtown Nashville residents and visitors. Located in the Pinnacle Building on DeMumbrian and 2nd Avenue next to its sister property, the Southern Steak and Oyster, the Southern Air Market is the first of its kind in the burgeoning SoBro neighborhood. Drop by to choose from shelves stocked with locally sourced sundry goods and produce. A butcher counter full of fresh meat and seafood, French-pressed coffee, made-to-order paninis, and a bevy of craft brews by the bottle. Don't want to leave the house or office? We also deliver at the Southern Air. Find us on DeliveryDudes.com and OrderUp.com. The Southern Air Market is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and Sundays from noon to 5:30. To learn more, visit SouthernAirMarket.com or call 615-490-8077.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I always thought you were such a nice, quiet young man.
Westbrook pulls up at the free throw line. Tied ball game.
Here's a kid with an honest face.
Weekday afternoons at 4.
I'm in my car constantly late for appointments because I'm sitting here listening to you on the radio.
Here we go. We're going live right now.
I just want to tell you, I've been a long-time listener for 12, 13 years.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. 50% chance of storms, high 89. Partly cloudy tonight, low 74. 70% chance of storms tomorrow, high 88. And a 30% chance of storms tomorrow night, low 72. Utilize the...
Knows more about the oblong spheroid than any man in America. It's Bill King.
Good had him on many times in the past. It's just been probably been a year or two. That's on me, man. See, we don't guest it a lot, so my mind isn't always... I'm never thinking about who we can get on next. That's not the way I think. And probably should think a little bit more about that from time to time. When you can get a guy like that who is that good. Yeah, Mike's really, really good. You've seen him. I mean, he does all the... He literally does SEC football, basketball, baseball. I mean, he's all over the place, man. He travels a lot. Now, not right now, but hopefully they get started back up for him. Some very reasonable thoughts there from him, too. What is the thinking when it's thrown out there that a conference-only model, what are you saving there by trimming three games or whatever you're trimming? Are you going to look back and say, you know what? Playing nine games regular season instead of 12 really saved us with COVID. Look at the numbers. Here's what they would have been, and here's what they are. They're negligible, but if we'd have played those games, then wow. Hot spot all over again. It brings up a very, very good point. Jeff in the Borough. Bill, you know Brett McMurphy, don't you? He said 315 kids tested for the virus since May and only 5 test positive. Well, Notre Dame, according to one story, Notre Dame tested like 1 million people and only like 1 positive. Maybe 2 million. So... Yeah, Landry brought that up earlier. He didn't use the million thing, but yeah, he brought that up a little bit earlier. Good stuff, though. Yeah, Brad will be with us tomorrow. Always good to have him on. Yeah, Brad's excellent. And we'll get into the whole handicapping thing. Here's something from the Walton County Jail, and that's down on the Emerald Coast. 38 staff/inmates test positive at the Walton County Jail. Shocking news there. Here's what I'd like to know. And I don't think we're going to be able to get this data. And you know what? Again, I understand the privacy part of it. I would love to know this, but I understand the reason why we don't have the data. Of the cases that have been positive in college sports, on campus with the college athletes, how many of them ended up with a player, a student athlete, in the hospital? I don't mean going to see the doctor. I mean in the hospital. You are to the point where we need to get you checked in. I'd love to have that data. Again, I'm not saying that testing positive is something we should laugh at either. It's serious, but almost always in that age group, asymptomatic. I'd love to have that data. We don't because it's about privacy. And again, respectfully, I do get that. I do. I'm not fussing about that at all. I still would love to see the data, though. Either way. I'd love to see that information. High school-wise, they're back to doing their workouts in the morning here. Now, you can't really practice football like you'd want, but you can still get together and do your lifting and do various things, but not to the level you'd want to be able to do. But that's the rule right now. My kids seem to be happy with it. They say it's going well. But until something is announced here now, you can't pad it up or do any of that stuff. You can't do 7-on-7, even on your own team. Intra-squad. See, in Georgia, you can do that. You can't go and play another team 7-on-7, but you can within your squad scrimmage like that. Now, not in pads yet. No. Yeah, not padded up yet. At Crazy Charlie 615. Brian Driscoll with us earlier, Chris Landry, and Mike Morgan. That was a good group. Yeah, for a show that doesn't guest it up a lot, that was a good guest list. Tomorrow, Brad will be with us. Hour number three out in Vegas. At Billis King on Twitter. If you want to email me like Ben in North Dakota did, BillisKing7@gmail.com. Lodgepole.